Welcome to Many Messages. I'm Brother James, and this is about reconciliation.
So first, I'd like to thank y'all for allowing me to come out today and speak to y'all a little bit. Probably won't take up too much of your time. But it's been a little bit of a crazy year, hasn't it? And we've heard a lot of people throw a lot of promises and everything out there for us for a long time. And we know human nature is really not to keep those promises. But that's not God's nature. God's nature is to keep His promises, to keep His word for each and every one of us. If you would, turn to Joshua 24, and we'll find where a promise was made a long time ago in a place called Shechem. So I'm going to start in verse 14 of chapter 24 of Joshua. It says, "Therefore," this is Joshua speaking, it says, "Therefore, fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourself today which you will worship, the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." The people replied, "We will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. For the Lord your God, the Lord our God, brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and performed these great signs before our eyes. He also protected us along the way we went and among all the peoples whose lands we traveled through. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will worship the Lord because He is our God." But Joshua told the people, "You will not be able to worship the Lord because He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions and sins. If you abandon the Lord and worship foreign gods, He will turn against you, harm you, and completely destroy you after He has been good to you." "No," the people answered Joshua, "we will worship the Lord." Then Joshua told the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you yourselves have chosen to worship the Lord." "We are witnesses," they said. That's a pretty bold promise by both Joshua back in verse 15. "As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord, regardless of what the people around him chose." That's a pretty bold statement. And then for the people to make the statement, "No, absolutely, we will worship the Lord," just like they did there, that's pretty bold also. And as you continue reading your Bible on through the history of the Israelite people, you see that they didn't keep that promise. And a part of that was their exile to Babylon and a lot of other things that God used to punish them for their disobedience, their breaking of this promise. And we see that today. We have to be willing to take that bold stance, to stand even in the midst of all these other people who are going to laugh at you, point at you, make fun of you. We have to stand with God. We have to make that bold statement. And when you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21, we see where Paul is telling the Corinthians, people of Corinth, that same thing in a letter to them. He says, "From now on, we do not know anyone in a purely human way, even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him in that way." What Paul is saying in that verse is, even if you just knew of Christ, when you accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross, you accept Him in a whole other way. You know Him on a more deeper level, in a spiritual way. And Paul continues and says, "Therefore," every time you see that word therefore, you know, more is coming. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. He's saying you're not who you used to be. When you accepted Christ, you made a change. You made a promise to God to change who you are, even though it's really not in your power. You're allowing Christ to do that in you. You're opening yourself to Christ. You're making that bold statement that I'm no longer me. I'm new because I have Christ in me. And he says, everything is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is bringing something back to where it was. That's us going back to Eden before the fall, being one with God, walking with God. And we do that in Christ. And because of Christ, we have that ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people back to God. Because that's where we're supposed to be. And too many people are claiming the name of Christian and still walking in this world. And there are a lot of people claiming that name of Christian still walking in this world, and they need to be reconciled to God. They made that promise, and they're not keeping it. And Christ promised us that if a vine doesn't bear fruit, it will be cut from the plant. And that's too great of a cost for me. And it should be too great of a cost for all of us. We have that ministry of reconciliation. We should minister to every person we see who's breaking that promise and say, come back to God. Get back to where you're supposed to be. You made a promise when you accepted Christ's forgiveness. And Paul continues on. He says, that is, and he's explaining what reconciliation is. He says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Meaning that he's not counting their trespasses anymore. As long as it's in Christ, he has forgiven those trespasses, and he's given us that same message to bring people back to him. He says, therefore, there's more, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador is? It's a person who goes to a foreign land to represent his home country. We are members, citizens of the kingdom of God through Christ. And we are in this foreign land as ambassadors of Christ to the citizens of this world so that they may come and join our land and be reconciled to the God, to the King of our country, which is the kingdom of heaven. And that sounds like it's more than what we can handle, but it's not. Paul studied for 14 years with the apostles before he began his ministry. Abraham was over 100 years old when God gave him fulfilled the promise of a son. It's never too late to start acting as an ambassador for Christ. It's never too late to do that reconciliation message that God has given us to Christ. When we go back to Joshua and we pick up and keep reading, we see the second part of this promise isn't just being bold for Christ, but it's also to be bound to Christ. And Joshua continues and he tells the people that you made this promise. Here's the part. Get rid of the foreign gods that are among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. We put so many things ahead of God. Our job, our family, our money, our health, everything we put before God. And we don't even think about it. Those are our foreign gods. We have set up idols in front of God. And God's saying, get rid of them. Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew that the birds don't worry about where they're getting their food from. The grass don't worry about who's going to clothe it. They exist as part of the beautiful creation of God. But we worry about so many things, and we put those worries ahead of God, and we shouldn't be. We should be bound in Christ to God. And Joshua's telling the people to get rid of those foreign gods. So the people said to Joshua, we will worship the Lord our God and obey him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant. A covenant is a promise. Joshua made a covenant for the people at Shechem and established a statute and ordinance for them. Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. He also took a large stone and set it up there under the oak at the sanctuary of the Lord. Then Joshua said to all people, "You see this stone, it will be a witness against you, for it has heard all the words the Lord said to us, and it will be a witness against you, so that you will not deny your God." Then Jesus sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. I love this part because of the visualization we see that under a tree on a hilltop, Joshua set up a stone as a reminder of the promise that they made with God and the promise that God has made with them in the past. On a tree on Calvary, Christ died for us. And 3 days later, a stone was rolled away to fulfill the promise he had made with us. That he would defeat death. That he would come back. The grave is empty. The stone is set up against the side of that tomb. Under the hill of Calvary, where that tree that held his body is at. The promise has been made that we will be reconciled to God if we believe and honor Christ and we live Christ-like lives when we follow Christ. And we have to deliver that same message. Christ gave us a ministry to deliver the gospel message to the people, to love everyone, including those who hate us and persecute us, and to offer grace, that is forgiveness, to all those who do us wrong. He said that if we were not faithful to forgive our brothers who harm us, God would not be faithful to forgive us. So we have to deliver that same forgiving grace to others. We have to offer God's love that he showed through Christ to others. And we have to deliver the gospel message of the redeeming power of Christ to others. Those are what we are called to do as Christians. Those are what we are told to do in the covenant of Christ that was established and fulfilled on the cross of Calvary and when the stone was rolled away and Christ walked from that grave. The covenant has been made. And in Hebrews 9, starting in verse 11, the writer of Hebrews tells the Jewish people about the Messiah. It says, "But the Messiah has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation." So the heavenly tabernacle is what he's speaking of. "He entered the most holy place once and for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having attained eternal redemption." And you skip down to 15, and it says, "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption for the transgressions committed under the first covenant." And we see that first covenant in Joshua, that you're called to worship the Lord God without worshiping any other gods. Give up all other idols, all other gods. Give up all your other desires. Because if they're truly meant to be yours, God will provide them for you if you need them. You shouldn't have to worry about them. They shouldn't be the focus of your mind. The focus of your mind should be on worshiping God and serving God. And Christ set up a new covenant to give us a new command, and that is to love our neighbor and love ourselves. He gave us that command. He gave us that covenant. And that's where we have to be in the mindset of Christ. Is when we give ourselves over to Christ. When we say, "I'm a Christian, and I accept the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross," we make a new covenant with God. We are no different than these Israelites saying, "We will worship the Lord." And I'm sorry, I know it goes against a lot of people's beliefs because a lot of people won't want to think about this, but Christ said if a branch doesn't bear fruit, it would be cut off and put into the fire. So if you are a branch of that vine of Christ, you need to be bearing fruit. You need to be working for Christ. You need to be honoring Christ by talking to other people and praying with other people, praying for other people, and just loving and offering that grace to other people. And even if they hurt you, they hurt Christ too. They hurt him far worse. And he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we have to be able, I know it's hard. It's probably the hardest part of being a Christian, is being able to say, Father, forgive them. And give me the strength to forgive them. I've had to do it. Carissa's had to do it. I know each one of us has had to face that at some point. It isn't that it isn't going to happen. It isn't that God's going to give you this easy, perfect life. He's not. The teacher gives tests to see how much you've learned. Are you following Christ today? Are you acting on Christ's behalf and speaking on Christ's behalf as ambassadors in this foreign country? Too long have we as Christians lived in fear of persecution when we should really just accept the persecution, look the person straight in the face and say, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I forgive you. Because I have Christ in me and it's He who forgives you. And it's on you to accept that forgiveness or not. And I know that's hard, and it's a really hard message, but it's what God has given me to give to y'all today, and it's a really short message. I thought it was going to be longer. But the altar's open if anyone needs it. It's always open. When Christ took those nails and bled for us, and that veil was torn, the altar was open for all eternity and hasn't been closed since. Anytime, anywhere, He has given us that grace to come to the Lord God and beg for mercy and forgiveness and for help and for strength to offer that to others. And so I open the altar because it's already open. And I say that if anybody needs to come for any reason, I'll be glad to pray for you and pray with you. Would you like to pray altar?
If you enjoyed that content and would like to hear more, please subscribe and follow me on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. I'm on various different platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and Pandora. If you would like to visit my website, it is www.brotherjamesparty.com. That's www.brojamesparty.com. There you can read my blog, purchase books from my store, listen to past podcasts, watch videos, interact by sending me messages, and I will surely get back to you, and I hope to hear from you soon. You can also follow me on social media at BRO James Pardee. Thank you, and God bless.